Let's talk about all the things that impact our community health and what can be done about it. The Cornerbrook Status of Women's Council is shedding light on the issues that create barriers to success for the people of our region. Host Paula Shepherd and special guests will take us through a range of topics from the affordable housing crisis to intimate violence and all points in between. And now, it's time for The Plain Truth.
Hi, and welcome to The Plain Truth. I'm your host, Paula Shepherd. March 8th is International Women's Day, and in this week leading up to International Women's Day, we are going to be talking about feminism. Our guest today is Sydney Allen. She's a counselor that works both at the Cornerbrook Status Women Council as well as at Willow House, the local transition house. Welcome, Sydney.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, feminism. It's a word that gets thrown around a lot, but what exactly is feminism?
Yeah, feminism is a big word that can have a lot of meanings, and I think feminism can mean different and individual things to every person, but at the forefront is about all genders having equal rights and opportunities. So not only is it about leveling this playing field for, you know, girls and women to that of boys and men, but also understanding that women encapsulate a large, diverse population, and it's important to seek out and respect these diverse experiences of women and listen to all women's stories.
So why do you think feminism is important? Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of people that would say that feminism is passé or something that, you know, we've achieved equality, so why is feminism still important?
Right, and I think when I first thought of that question, why is feminism important, I kind of laughed. I was like, well, what? That's common sense. Like, why isn't it? But when you really think about it, there's a lot of reasons. We haven't yet reached equality. Basically, contrary to what people may think, feminism is literally about basic human rights. So though in Canada and in westernized societies, we've obtained a lot of the more big things people might think about, you know, the everyday rights to an education, to be able to vote, and to simply be able to independently, like, work, is not a reality everywhere in the world, so... Aside from basic gender equality, like I just talked about, you have things like health and reproductive rights, or economic empowerment and the importance for pay equity, which I think a lot of people also think we have. We don't actually have pay equity legislation in this province.
So right, we have pay transparency.
Yeah, right? Yes, exactly. And it's something I don't think a lot of people realize when you really get into it. Like, I mean, it took working at the Women's Center to realize, like, the legislation in this province, on average, depending on what ways you look at it, women earn 67 to 72 cents on the dollar of what males make. You know, unions are a bit different for this, but then that, again, brings up a different conversation of intersectionality, you know, and how if you are a woman of lower socioeconomic status or a mother of kids navigating the lack of affordable childcare, then the options for you to work then become minimum wage jobs or part-time or retail, then they often don't have unions. So it brings in a lot of things.
Right. Yeah. So you mentioned a word called intersectionality.
Yeah.
So what exactly is that and how does that play into feminists? Practices.
Intersectionality basically at the forefront means being oppressed in more than one way. So in terms of feminism, it's about acknowledging the crossover between gender and other forms of discrimination. So these forms could be such as race, ethnicity, age, class, socioeconomic status, gender, sexual identity, physical and mental disabilities, and more. And so if you're, you know, a woman, but you're also discriminated in another way, then that just brings a multitude of other layers of barriers in accessing the equalities that maybe, you know, a straight white woman may have maybe gotten over that hurdle, you know? So, yeah, intersectionality brings in a lot of different things into play.
And I think we've seen that historically, you know,
yes.
As we know that white women were granted rights to vote first.
Yeah.
Rights to vote came for other minorities later, including
their
indigenous sisters, women of color, things like that. They had a later time achieving some of those rights and responsibilities. And we continue to see that in different fields as well, right?
Oh, yes, 100%. I think one of my biggest shocks, you know, when starting to work at the Women's Center was realizing Persons Day was a thing. It's a day where we recognize when women became people in 1929. So not only was I shocked enough to hear that, because I was like, what the heck? Before 1929, that wasn't a thing. Then I was told and I learned that that was only white women. So that wasn't, you know, anyone else. So that just brings a whole slew of other things. And, yeah, it's, you know, being allowed to speak in the courts. That was just for white women at first. And, yeah, it's a big conversation to be had about not only being a woman, but then are you a woman of a kid? Are you a woman of a kid who's a single parent? It brings in a lot of different layers.
And so rights, yeah. Understanding that, you know, with each of these different layers of oppression, there are multiple levels of inequality that someone may experience.
Yeah, and that actually just, again, reiterates that they're individual. Every person has different layers that we actually don't know on the surface. All the ways that someone might be oppressed until we listen to their stories. And so I think that brings up bringing their voices to the forefront too and really listening to all women and not just some women's experiences because it's a whole, you know, feminism and tackling feminism is a whole society issue because it benefits society to benefit women in all of their layers of experiences.
So when you say that, so many people think that feminism is only about improving rights for women and girls.
Right.
And you're saying that it benefits all of society. How does it do that?
Right. Well, I mean, you look at the childcare piece, you look at the parent piece, you look at the right for women in power and the pay equity piece, and it actually just supports families in general, and it supports access to education and mental health services. So, I mean, it affects men, it affects kids, it affects the whole family unit, and as a whole, if those family units are, you know, healthier mentally and physically and getting access to services, then, you know, it creates better, healthier generations to come.
Yeah, and I always say that while I continue to advocate that all of our young women should be able to be truck drivers and mechanics, I also argue that our young men should be able to be nurses and, you know, primary education teachers as well.
Yes, absolutely. And it's becoming a bit more diverse in these fields where you see women in the trades and more male-dominated fields and vice versa, and males in female-dominated fields. But I think it could go a lot further, you know. So we still see a lot of males at in the positions of authority, even in the female-dominated career settings like schools, hospital settings. It might be, you know, a lot of female nurses mostly or female healthcare professionals or teachers, but sometimes we might see more male-dominated people in the authoritative roles, like the principals and stuff. And that's not always, but, you know, yeah, just working towards that and just doesn't even mean that's a bad thing, but bringing awareness to it and just recognizing it is a step, I think.
So if you knew somebody who had questions or wanted to understand more about feminism, are there any myths that you might want to like counteract and things like that when it comes to talking about feminism? Because I think there's a lot of ideas out there about what feminism is.
I have a lot of them. Even talking about feminism sometimes makes me not nervous, but weary of who I'm talking with because I have this underlying hope that they're not, or worry that they're going to think I'm, you know, some radical activist or something. And so that's definitely one of the myths I would say I would like to debunk, is that all feminists are angry and radical, or that feminism means, you know, hating men or anti-men, when it's actually not at all. It's celebrating men just as much as you're celebrating females and women, or that feminists want power over males. And I just think, yeah, I don't know. I think I've heard a lot of females, you know, even the ones that I love and care for a lot, say, you know, oh, I'm not a feminist, or like they don't mean really anything bad by that. They just mean, or, you know, they're not like, oh, I don't hate men. And I'm like, well, no one does. No feminist that, you know, in their right mind does hate men. It's more of a just wanting to get the word out of being equal and trying to level that playing field a bit, I think.
Well, and understanding, I mean, for many of us, we will may become mothers, but we also have men as part of our families, as, you know, yes. partners, yeah. sons,
support
nephews,
systems.
Support systems. And so we don't hate them.
Oh my gosh, no, no, absolutely not. In fact, we love them. We love lots of them. And I think it's just, you know, wanting the people, the men in our lives and our support systems to kind of recognize the load women take on, the mental load sometimes even. Yeah.
And the barriers that we face as well.
Yes, the barriers that we face that are different when, you come back to the reproductive health and just different things all the time. There is, you know, we could get into the sexual harassment piece or the intimate partner violence piece or all those things too, but even there's microaggressions too, I think, of just being a female that, are kind of not seen as much.
So you talked a little bit about people often characterizing people, you know, feminists as angry and radical. What about the other side of that, where sometimes feminists are seen as not being feminine?
Right. Yeah, I think that's a good one too, because I think that's kind of the whole point, is that maybe you think if someone's a feminist that they have to be feminine and love pink and dressing up girly or anything like that, not feminine. But yeah, the other way is that there's lots of feminists that don't have to be feminine at all. And that is totally, that's part of it, is that you can be whatever you want and still care about women's rights, and that you are a woman and, you know,
you can celebrate that in whatever way feels comfortable for you.
Absolutely. That's the whole point, is that it doesn't have to just be feminine.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it. Yeah. Yeah, I think, I don't know, there's so many myths and misunderstandings I could think of, but that kind of brings up another thing, is that when talking about feminism or anything that is kind of related to social justice, I think sometimes people are afraid to talk about it in general because they're nervous of saying the wrong thing. And yeah, just, I think part of being a feminist is realizing you're not always going to have it right, and there's mistakes you can make, and you're fighting for change, and in whatever way that looks like, you're a normal human that, you know, we've been socialized in a patriarchal world that we're not always taught what is right. So,
well, yeah, and I think that comes back to, you know, all of us are evolving, learning and unlearning.
Unlearning is a big one.
It's a big one. Exactly. And so, you know, what feminism looks like and will depend on that moment in time and us as individuals and where we are in that learning journey, I think.
Right. Yep, totally. And as society evolves and the communities we work within and what problems are at the forefront of the communities we're in, like, we might, you know, be learning new things that we didn't know before. So then we're kind of retracing our steps and, learning new language. I think that's all part of it, and to not really beat ourselves up for that either.
That's right. Well, you mentioned earlier about sexual and reproductive, you know, rights. I think for a long time people thought that maybe we had overcome that hurdle.
Yeah.
And while in Canada we haven't seen some of those rights rescinded, we definitely have seen some of that in our neighbor to the south, in the United States. We've definitely seen attacks on those rights. And understanding that sometimes this is an ongoing issue that can circle back around, and all of a sudden you're back on the front lines having to take on these issues again.
Yes, and I guess that also has to do with political climates and all those pieces, right?
All of which lead into feminist.
Right, again, it's a whole society issue, and just because, you know, we might have a lot of things going for us in this community or this province or this country does not mean every woman does, and until that happens, I think the fight is, like, never over, so... Yeah.
Are there other feminist issues you think people often don't think about that are actually feminist in nature?
I don't know. I think literally everything is a feminist issue. It's a pretty, like, I guess, big umbrella question. I always go back to healthcare, honestly, because for so long, only the male anatomy and the male body and male health was studied. In medical journals and for medicine coming out, and it's getting a bit better, but that's something I constantly go back to, is reproductive health and how, I don't know, half of the population is female and have, you know, specific issues that were never really looked into or talked about, and it was kind of hush-hush, and I think that is something I really think will help generations to come is really talking about half of the population's health issues that are so specific to that half the population.
That's right. Even understanding the role of hormones in our overall health and well-being.
Yeah.
There's been little research really done that for that, and yet we know that it impacts our well-being in such important ways and in different ways than between genders.
Yep. And I mean, hormones play a part into mental health and physical health too. And then again, when you take just the female out of it and you look at the family, mental health plays a huge role in being healthy. Mentally well plays a huge role in parenting and raising, you know, healthy kids and, you know, contributing to your jobs. And again, giving back to society as a whole, we have to be healthy.
So I introduced you at the beginning of the show as a counselor, but what you actually practice is feminist counseling. Can you tell us a little bit about how that's a little bit different?
Yeah, so I mean, feminist counseling kind of just means that you're taking a feminist lens to how the world works in the histories and experiences that have primarily happened to women, and keeping these women-centered issues. So, you know, I say women-centered issues, that can mean a whole lot of things, but for example, intimate partner violence or very specific structured female roles in houses and that, how that's played out, you know, into generational trauma sometimes or sexual assaults and harassment and how all these issues, you know, I don't, when someone comes in for counseling, I'm not like, you know, feminism this, feminism that, but I'm kind of just keeping that in the back of my mind and using that knowledge and awareness for kind of how we work with people. So it's kind of just, you know, trauma informed in that you're aware of these issues, but also that might mean, you know, when someone comes in for counseling, we're educating them on, you know, that's actually not okay, and that does constitute intimate partner violence or, you know, a gender role that was, you know, kind of instilled in you and from society, and just kind of educating people on that because they might not know. It's totally okay to not know, but as a feminist counselor, we kind of try to bring awareness to those pieces and how that's affected people's mental health, maybe. Because it does, and people don't realize.
Absolutely, and it impacts their station in life, I think, as well, and where they currently are.
Totally.
Excellent. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to a song by Taylor Swift. Some of you may think that's a little bit of an odd choice, but we're going to listen to The Man, which really exemplifies some of those sexist double standards that are that many people have to live with. And then we're going to follow that up with The Weather. And then we'll be back.
I would be complex, would be cool. They'd say I played the field before I found someone to commit to. And that would be okay for me to do. Every conquest I had made would make me more of a boss to you. I'd be a fearless leader, I'd be an alpha type. When everyone believes ya, what's that like? I'm so sick of running as fast as I can, wondering if I'd get there quicker if I was a man. And I'm so sick of them coming at me again, 'cause if I was a man, then I'd be the man. I'd be the man. I'd be the man. If they hustled, put in the work, they wouldn't shake their heads and question how much of this I deserve. What I was wearing, if I was rude, could I be separated from my good ideas and power moves? And they would toast to me, or let the players play. I'd be just like Leo in Saint-Tropez. I'm so sick of running as fast as I can, wondering if I'd get there quick or if I was a man. Them coming at me again, 'cause if I was a man, then I'd be the man. I'd be the man. I'd be the man. What's it like to brag about raking in dollars and getting bitches and models? And it's all good if you're bad, and it's okay if you're mad. If I was out flashing my dollars, I'd be a bitch, not a bother. They paint me out to be bad, so it's okay that I'm mad. I'm so sick of running as fast as wondering if I'd get there quicker if I was a man.
You know that
and I'm so sick of them coming at me again.
Coming at me again.
Cause if I was a man.
Welcome back to The Plain Truth. I'm your host, Paula Shepherd. Our guest today is Sydney Allen, and we're talking about feminism. Before our break, we talked about what is feminism, why is it important. We talked about some of the different movements within feminism, and we talked about some of the myths and misunderstandings that there are about feminisms, like the fact that feminisms are thought to hate men, that they want power over men, that maybe we've already achieved equality already, and that those are all kind of myths and lead to misunderstandings about feminism. We also talked about the concept of intersectionality and how it plays into feminist practices. So what about that myth that, you know, the idea that we've already achieved equality? What would you say if somebody said that to you, Sydney?
I would try not to laugh because, like we were talking about earlier, it's okay to not know things and to be wrong and relearn and stuff like that, but I would only, you know, try not to laugh because I just totally disagree. And I think that myth has been put out there maybe, I don't know, to stop action, perhaps. I'm not really sure. Or to just kind of dismiss it so we don't have to talk about it because it's easier to not talk about stuff. But I really, truly don't think we've achieved feminism in a lot of ways. And that's like on the micro level in our own community in Corner Brook, or provincially in Newfoundland, or like on a wide scale global level. You know, like looking at, you know, women in other countries who don't have access to education or to driving cars or to their, you know, personal independence, or, you know, bringing it back to even, yeah, like we were talking about earlier, the USA, our sister country that are getting a lot of reproductive health rights taken away from them in different places, and, you know, global movements that have happened, such as the Me Too movement, and how even the Me Too movement, which started, you know, many years ago, almost isn't talked about as much. Like, either that got swiped under the rug or it got fixed and there was a solution and stuff. And yeah, like, you know, Some people were brought forward and stuff, but the fact of the matter is it still sexual assault happens all the time. People in power, you know, primarily men in power, take advantage of that sometimes, and that was part of the Me Too movement, and it actually hasn't gone anywhere. So I think, you know, reaching equality has not happened at all.
Right. And what about the idea, you know, that feminism is only for women and girls?
Right.
Can men be feminists?
Oh, 100%. I would actually hope that all men are feminists. Any man that cares about the livelihood of, you know, females in their lives, kids in their lives, the success of their families, I would hope they are feminists. Lots of males might not think they're feminists, but, you know, then you ask yourself, okay, well, do you work with any females? Do you have any, you know, females in your life? And you can ask if they have any females in their life, and, you know, perhaps they do and perhaps they don't. But I don't even think that really matters, because, again, if they care about everybody, even their own, you know, male friends, mental health and well-being as a whole, then, you know, they should care about the equality of all genders.
Right. And, you know, that gender equality means dismantling some of the societal structures we currently have, which are not always beneficial for men either. Right.
No, 100%. Dismantling the, you know, idea of not you know, I think about my mental health, maybe that's because I'm, you know, my counselor role and stuff, but I think about mental health a lot and chatting more about it and access to mental health services. And we look at men not having or not feeling as, you know, okay to talk about, you know, their own mental health a lot and stuff. And I still think that's a feminist issue, because talking about mental health in the first place, I think, was a feminist issue. So it still affects males. Yeah, that's one thing I think of.
Yeah, and the idea, you know, men shouldn't cry, men have to be strong. Yeah. They do disservice for men as well.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And again, all these things we're talking about, they're getting a bit better, but it's not fixed at all. And, you know, the male population realizing the world works a lot better when we talk about our feelings and show emotion and, you know, raising kids that feel they're safe to do that and okay to do that, that helps the next generation. And yeah, it all starts from, you know, showing your own emotion. So, yeah.
And during the break, you mentioned, you know, maybe some people think because they're hearing this and we're talking about structural stereotypes and societal roles and things like that, that some people might think, well, you know, I do cook and clean and things like that, but I like to do it.
Yes.
So does that not make me a feminist?
No, absolutely. I think that makes you a feminist because you're choosing to do the things you love. It all comes down to choosing that that's what you want to do. Because I had someone, you know, recently, I have people actually all the time, perhaps it comes from working at the Women's Center. They're like, well, you know, I'm traditional in that sense that I like to, you know, cook my husband's supper and do the cleaning, and I'm traditional. They keep saying that. And I'm like, well, I don't even think that makes you traditional. Like, that's sick. That's awesome that you love to cook and do those things. It's just, you know, realizing where you're most beneficial. If your strengths are in the kitchen and cooking and cleaning, and that's what you are choosing to do, knowing that there's, you know, the roles are hopefully equalized and that other people are taking on other roles, then that is awesome. I think it, again, like you said, comes down to choice and having the voice and having people in your household and in your life listen to the female voice and the load and the burden and what they feel is necessary that they need. That's all awesome.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about feminism, and obviously through our work we talk about some of these issues on a daily basis. But for somebody who is just wanting to learn more, what would you recommend to them? Where would you suggest that they turn to learn more?
I would think, you know, call us at any point. Drop into our center and, you know, you don't even ask for a 10-minute conversation on it. But we turn everyday conversations into feminist issues in a fun, lighthearted way, I think. You know, if there's some good podcasts out there, and I think books are really important. I always think of the book The Bad Feminist because it's making it okay to make mistakes and to not always know what to say and realize that, you know, there's lots of different stories and anecdotes of it in it of everyday women and their experiences. And it just, yeah, kind of encapsulates feminism as a whole and not just the basic definition.
Yeah, and I think there are some others that, you know, historically have been thought of as part of the feminist movement, like The Second Sex by Simone de Beauvoir, The Vagina Monologues by Eve Ensler.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
More recently, obviously, with the whole concept of intersectionality, Kimberly Crenshaw and some of her work on that, I think, are great places to start.
Yeah.
Any others that you might recommend?
I mean, as far as books go, because I also, when you just said resources, I really thought of Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is definitely not just targeted towards females, and neither is the Women's Center, which I think is another misconception that we have. Mm-hmm. But reaching out to Planned Parenthood is also a good one. But as far as books go, another one that's really, really good is Eve, like EVE, How the Female Body Drove 200 Million Years of Evolution, because it really goes back into the health and bodies of women, and that also affects men. Our reproductive health and our just physical health in general, you know, the stats say that women are, you know, lots more likely to get Alzheimer's. So how does that affect our generations to come? I think that's a really good book too.
And for those of you not in our listening region, but maybe in other parts of the province, There are 9 status women councils across this province, yeah, as well as other feminist organizations such as the Transition Houses, our violence prevention agencies, Planned Parenthood, as you mentioned, Multicultural Women's Association, all of whom can also direct you to places where you might learn more. Mm-hmm. But you can also start with your local library as well.
Our local library is a good one. And I think for Women's History Month, it is Women's History Month, as well as International Women's Day this Friday.
This Friday, on March 8th.
Yeah, but I do think that the public library has a section right now on Women's History Month and feminism and stuff.
Okay. So if you are interested in learning more, those are some great places to start. So we are going to finish off today. We wish all of you out there a happy International Women's Day on Friday. And we thank you so much for listening, and we will be in touch again next week. Bay.